and a better amenity, I think. Having separate entrances, they will be quite narrow and small, like most of the developments have there. This is a 3 meter wide entrance corridor. Yes, it's shared between commercial and residential, but I think it's a much better planning outcome. It goes past two trees, some landscaping. You know, 3 meters is quite generous. There's a lot of light coming down there. It's not a dark, dingy place. And to achieve that, we had to amalgamate the commercial and residential component.
Yep. Okay, I see what you're saying there. And you're aligning that to the picture on page 19/132, drawn LL, division D. One, I think, is where you're referring that to.
Sorry, you just dropped out.
My apologies. I was just referring to, it's drawing number 21, I think, that you're referring to, division D. That's that look that you're trying to give, where it's combined commercial and residential entrance.
Yeah, exactly. It's, as I said, it's a very small development. There's 6 residential units above. Hopefully people will become very friendly there and actually have interactions. Those interactions, and becomes a bit of a communal space.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Mr. Chair, back to you.
Thank you. Can I ask a question, Chris? It's occurred to me. Based on that photograph where it's really taken through the commercial parking area space, isn't it? Where you're saying that's the wide open interesting entry with the vegetation. So it means that the roller shutter for the cars will normally be shut, won't it? So people will have to come in through that gate.
That's right. There isn't actually a dedicated commercial parking space. So that commercial parking space is not for parking. It's just for loading and unloading. It's just temporary. It most certainly is not a dedicated commercial car space.
But okay, but that's still the point. That's the area of people, pedestrians would normally come in, because the roller shutter to the two car parking spaces will be shut.
That's correct, yes. Yeah.
And you need that for security, because otherwise people can just wander in off the laneway in and around there. So you're going to have an electric switch on the gates so people can have security of that, won't you?
That is the main residential entry. So as you come in, basically, the letterboxes are on the side. There's a hydrant sprinkler booster valve, and there's a gate, which is obviously security control for residents and commercial people who enter there at the premises.
So where will your remote call buttons go, your buzzer, for the apartments?
That will be on the site. Where it says hydrant sprinkler booster valve assembly, that can be integrated in the system there.
Right. So that area between the laneway and the gates, that's more or less your front portico, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. It's about 1.5 metres.
All right. It's just that we feel that that needs a bit more detailing to actually be sure how it will work.
The security control?
Who is it? There's somebody trying to say something.
I just wanted to mention something, Mr. Chairman. It's Luke from the council here.
Who's that? Who's
Mr.
talking?
Christ, it's Luke from the council here.
Say it again.
I can hear you, Luke. Mr. Chair, it's Luke from the council is speaking.
Oh, okay. Right on. Yes, Luke.
Mr. Christ just mentioned something that they'd submitted something to council's engineer about those floor levels. I've received something from council's engineer while we were in the briefing this morning. I didn't realise that it was there. It's my fault that this hasn't been put in front of the panel. Sorry, I didn't know that it was there. I can summarise it for you, or I could put it in the message board for you to read if you like. It essentially agrees with what you've just been told, that the council's engineer is happy with a modification to that condition, which instead of requiring a dead set 150 mil level, they'll let it be a more performance based condition, which says It mustn't let water enter the building in a 1-in-100-year flood. So that could be determined by the applicant's engineer, what the appropriate level is at the front.
Right.
So that's condition 31F. I could post that for you now in the messages. Just give me 2 secs.
Hasn't come up yet.
Is that meant to come in the chat window?
On my screen, the bottom left-hand corner, there's
the chat window.
Box. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, it's come up now. Conditions everyone in. So, Mr. Chair, we should read that for anyone who's actually listening and reading it.
So, sorry, that's a bit wordy.
Condition.
Luke, shall I read it? Yeah, we should read it in case somebody's listening and not seeing the chat. Could we read it out for everyone, please?
31F shall be amended as follows. All external finish surfaces and adjacent internal floor areas shall be designed so that no surface water enters the building during an average recurrence interval of 100 years in accordance with section FB 1.2 of the Building Code of Australia, Volume 1 for Class 2 to 9 buildings.
And that replaces condition 31F, which is on page 42 of the published papers. So that would replace that recommended condition. There's also some...
Sorry, Luke. I presume this refers to a flood recurrence interval.
That's right. So that's one in a hundred. Essentially, it's a 1-in-100-year flood, mate. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Condition needs to be amended to include flood.
Yes, I think you're right. And
that's right. And I'll just show you what he said about. So I'll just post in that window as well, so that people can read it. What he said about condition 32D.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is a bit clunky. It's just the easiest way to do it.
Okay, I'll read that one.
So the first bit is commentary, and then the second part is the amended condition.
Okay, the quote is, alignment levels at the front of the site shall match existing levels, while at the rear they must be set 100 millimetres above the existing layback invert at all points along the layback. Cross-section shall be provided every 5 metres, and at both sides of all vehicle and pedestrian entrances. End of quote.
Yes, so that replaces the drafted condition 32D, which was on page 43 of the recommended conditions.
All right, well, we'll consider that. As I said before, we're not going to make any final decision during this public section of the meeting. After we've finished the public section, we'll go into a closed session to make our decisions, okay? Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you need to say, Mr. Cruz?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a question of Mr. Cruz.
Yes, go ahead. John, isn't it?
Yes. Mr. Chris, do you have the published agenda?
Yes. I'll
I'm referring to page 141, which is the last page of the Heritage 21 report.
1 second.
Have you got that?
141?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
At the top of that page, it's the second paragraph. In fact, your heritage consultant recommends a structural engineer prepare structural drawings to brace the facade of 494 and ensuring conservation and retention In addition, we recommend the use of dry pressed bricks to the new brick masonry additions. Do you have any objection to that?
No, no objections.
So we, Mr. Chairman, I think we might put that in any conditions that we set up there.
Okay. Okay. No objections to that.
So,
all right, anything else?
Can I just get back to the matter about the entry, second entry in the front? You mentioned that you have already come to an agreement on this.
Well, I invite the other panel members to say, I believe with an appropriate rear entry from the laneway to the apartments, I don't see that the street entry is necessary. But I invite the other panel members to express an opinion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have no problem with coming in off the lane, but I believe we're going to discuss this in detail subsequent to this meeting, and the final decision will have to be made after that meeting.
John, you're on. I can't hear anything.
I'm sorry. I've got it on. So the sound from my side is a bit off and on as well.
Okay. We'll consider it in our closed session, mate.
Yeah. Has anyone else got any objections to the entry from? Only provided from the back?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Does that conclude our...
Kath Roach here, for your information, Mr. Chris. No, I don't have any objections. I'm just resolving in my mind, based on what you've also said and taken that on board in relation to the commercial and servicing area, with making sure that it is a proper entranceway. And I can see what you're trying to do, and I do like what you're trying to do. I'm just not resolved in my mind. So if a resident has to walk past the car to get there, et cetera, and I understand it's a short loading dock area. So I'm just resolving that in my mind, but I'm not opposed by any means to the rear entrance way. And I think it aligns better with the street in certainly what's there. So if we can make that work in our discussions afterwards, I'm happy with that.
Okay.
All right. Well, that might finish discussion on item one.
Thank
well
you.
Done. We'll go to item two. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Chris and Ms. Panos.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. So item two now is DIA 2019-00328 at 58 Thornley Street, Marrickville. And it's to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground and lower floor alterations and additions to a dwelling house and provide a new hardstand car parking space with associated driveway crossing. Now, for this one, I have three people registered to speak. I've got a John Altram, an Andrew Benn, and a Rachel Alsop. Are they all present?
Yes. Hello. Rachel Alsop, under Benhamkin Architecture, is here. Andrew Benn isn't.
Okay.
Just mentioned John's just
called. And what about John Altram?
He's supposed to be calling in via the phone. I think he'll be with us in a moment if he hasn't joined us already.
Okay. Well, Rachel, would you like to commence?
We're happy with everything that's come through from council and all the recommendations. We don't have anything that we'd like to object to, so we're quite happy for things to proceed as they are, and we're happy to answer any questions, I guess.
All right. One that I had is I haven't seen in the documents a landscape plan, but in any case, there's a condition requiring an amended landscape plan. could you tell us, is the landscaping mainly to do with the embankment down to the river?
The plan covers the whole site, so the entrance, like the front garden, rejuvenating all the garden area to the north side of the site that we're allowed to build upon.
Yes.
And also the portion down to the river as well.
Okay. There's also something in the report about protecting existing trees. Is it only the trees leading down that embankment? Because the rest of the site seems to be pretty much cleared.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Hello?
Mr. Chair, I don't think they heard your question. You might need to repeat your question.
Okay. The protection of trees that we see in the report, is that the trees that are on the downhill slope below the house down to the river?
Sorry, we're not getting your speech through to us. It's sort of a bit staticky. I don't know if you can hear me.
Rachel, can you hear me okay? It's Kath here.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Okay, Rachel, the question that the chair is asking is around where the trees are located. Are they mainly down on the slope of the land towards the water? Because he felt that the rest of the site was fairly bare of trees. So maybe we don't have a landscape plan in front of us. So maybe you can enlighten us around that particular part, if you would.
Sorry, I'm here with Rach. I'm also from Ben and Penn, and my name's Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hey. I think are you talking about the main bit of land next to the cottage being quite bare?
Yes, and I think there's also a requirement to protect trees as a consent condition, but we were noting that the land seemed quite bare of trees. That's what the chair's asking. And so what is it that's being protected as part of that condition when we haven't got the revised landscape plan, obviously?
Right. Sorry, if I understand what you're asking... So we're not actually proposing to remove any additional trees, and the area to the side of the cottage has a number of conditions on it required by Sydney Water, and so part of those conditions are to not introduce trees close to their asset there. So that's kind of why that area is so bare.
Yes, that makes sense.
Is that kind of what you're asking? Or?
And where else the trees are that you are to protect on the side. I think the chair, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Chair, because I can hear you.
It's breaking up. I'm really sorry about that.
That's all right. Let's try this. Can you hear me any better now?
A little bit.
Mr. Chair, Yes. Mr. Chair, are you referring to this condition on page 162? On page 162 of the report, is that what you would like them to comment on?
Yes. Yes.
So what we're trying to get you to look at is page 162 of the report in relation to trees, and in particular, there's a number of trees there identified to be retained, a couple of street trees, and a couple of ones at the rear. Obviously, they were hard for us to see. Are they down near the water, 3 and 4?
Better internet.
Are you understanding this?
I think they're just looking for it, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, no, it just dropped out again.
Yeah, not really understanding the question, sorry. We keep only getting half of the question.
Okay. Over to you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear?
Well, I can hear you, Kath, but I'm hearing the others.
We can
On
hear
On page 162 of the report,
yep.
There's standard tree protection, and it appears to be... on the site at the rear, which is down the river embankment.
Yep.
Is that mainly where your landscaping will be? Because you can't put any trees, apart from, I imagine, small vegetation, over the top of the big pipes.
That's correct, yeah.
So okay. There's soft plantings and lawn areas proposed to the front in the northern side where we can't put in larger trees because of the pipes. And then there's some landscaping proposed down the bottom as well. But I think the retention is for two to the street and then two down to the rear, so it's a mixture. We don't have a problem, though, with retaining anything that's existing that is being outlined, if that's what the question is.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from panel members?
No, thank you.
All right.
No, Mr. Chair, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's John Autumn here. I just joined the meeting. I'm the heritage consultant on the project. I just rang in to answer any questions if there were any.
None on heritage. I think that the heritage provisions seem satisfactory.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
What about panel members? Any questions on heritage?
No, thank you.
No, not from me.
There?
I'm fine.
John McInerney doesn't seem to be there.
I'm here and I don't
muted myself. I have no questions, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you.
I have no questions.
All right, well, if there's nothing more, then I think that concludes the submissions section on item two. So thank you for your attendance, Mr. Altram, Mr. Ben, and Ms. Alsop.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you.
We'll now go on to item three in the agenda. Item three is DAREV, which is a review application /2019/12 at 65 Palmer Street, Balmain, a section 8.2 review application for installation of solar panels to the roof of a townhouse. Now, on this one, I don't believe we've got anybody registered to speak on that one. No, we don't. Is there anybody listening that wanted to speak on this application in Palmer Street? I'm hearing nothing, so I will assume there isn't, and I will defer the decision on that one for the panel to discuss in its closed meeting. And therefore, we can now go on to item four for the agenda, which is REV, which is a review of determination application /2020/0007 at 14 Fawcett Street, Balmain. This is a review of determination of D/2019/334 seeking to delete condition 4, which requires retention of first floor east facing windows associated with a heritage listed dwelling house. Now, for that one, I have two people registered to speak there. I've got a James Phillips on heritage and a Sam Crawford architect. Are they present?
Yes. Sam Crawford here.
Oh, good. Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Is Mr. Phillips there? No. Well, Mr. Crawford, would you like to commence, please?
Sure. I think James is here, but it's... okay. Thank you, panel members, for the opportunity to address you. I would typically share some drawings at this point, or some images. In particular, the view impact study that we submitted as part of the review of determination. Do you, do panel members have that in front of them?
Yes, we do. We've read that.
So essentially, I just wanted to reiterate that the image in council's determination, we don't feel like that's a particularly fair image. It seems to be taken with a telephoto lens, and that in reality, there's only one point for a couple of metres of the street that you can see the rear of 14 Fawcett Street from the public domain. The remainder of the street and anywhere else, as far as we're aware, the building's not visible from the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
James Phillips, who's our heritage architect, was to address you on heritage matters in accordance with his letter, but it appears that he's not here.
Mr. Chair, I think that's okay in terms of it, looking at it, and I can understand what it's likely to come up given I visited the site also, as all of us have, and we can take on board what you're saying, and we understand the picture in the on page, you're referring to picture on page 272, I think, of the papers in terms of the council paper in relation to that one. Yes. So, yeah, I think we're taking on board and clear on what you're saying in relation to that as well and what your heritage may say. So that's okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
All right. Anything else from panel members?
No, thank you.
No,
thank you.
On this one.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance, Mr. Phillips and Mr. Crawford.
Thank you.
I'll defer that one to the closed session of the panel meeting.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll now go on to item, I think it's four, isn't it?
Five, Mr. Chair.
Item five, which is 01020190001761.1. It's an application in 7 Wellesley Street, Summerhill, for the alterations and additions to an existing dwelling, including a new first floor. Now, for that one, I do have one registered speaker, and it's Peter Lonergan, architect from Crafton Lonergan. Are you present, Mr. Lonergan? No, haven't heard anything. Mr. Lonergan, are you there?
Mr. Chair, I can see a guest by the name of Peter there. His microphone is muted, though.
He's unmuted now.
No, that's I'm with Ray for item 6. That's Peter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Somebody needs to turn their phone off. Okay. So we have no one to speak on item 5.
Mr. Chair, we could jump to and do item 6 and then try item 5 last.
Yes, all right. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah, good idea.
In case the person, Mr. Lonergan, shows up in the meantime. All right, we'll go to item 6. Now, item 6 is application M/2019/170 at 80 Evans Street, Roselle. And it's a modification of development consent D/2015/258. For various changes, including internal changes to the layout and adjusting the attic level bedroom of a 3-4 story house, terrace house on that site. Now, I think we've all been past that site and seen what we can see from the street. And I've got registered to speak for that Ray Stevens, architect. Is he present? No, I'm not getting anything. Who is
Mr. Chair, I do see Ray Stevens is connected to the conference call. His microphone is also on mute.
Okay. Oh, there he is. Yes. Mr. Stevens, do you want to speak? Hello?
Ray Stevens.
Stevens, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
All right.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Generally, we're quite happy with the report as prepared. However, there is the condition 3A that we have an issue with. It seems that council are presenting an option to either keep a balcony that's existing and a non-compliant roof form for a habitable room, or giving us the option to make the room a habitable complying space but deleting the balcony. This appears to be done on some sort of heritage grounds. I assume you've seen the property from the rear.
Yes.
There is a house to the left when you're looking at the rear, which has a very similar attic roof and a very similar balcony to what was to what we're asking for. And it appears that that balcony was approved under a building certificate. So we're only seeking to have built what next door has built. Council seem to be holding us to ransom, essentially, saying, well, if you want the balcony, you can't have the compliant roof, or if you want the compliant roof, you can't have the balcony. Now, I don't see how that is a real heritage outcome. And in any event, the balcony is only becoming wider by a half a metre, which I would contend is meaningless, really, in terms of the big picture of the conservation area. It is the rear of a terrace, and you know, terrace houses present differently to the rear rather than the important Evans Street frontage. The views are quite impressive, as you can imagine. So we seek to have that condition removed and simply have the application approved as it was submitted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As I understand it, what the council's imposed is in accordance with its current policies on the allowance of attic rooms and not having balconies. Is that your understanding too?
No, the DCP does allow upper floor balconies, generally restricted to 2 metres by 1 metre, which we're just saying, well, next door has a similar balcony, which council is allowed to remain. Why can't we have a balcony of that size? If the balcony has to be reduced, that's something we can look at. But I really can't see what the problem is in having the space created as a compliant habitable room and the balcony that's been there for 20 or 30 years.
Okay. Has it been there that long, has it?
The balcony that's there, yes. Yes. The one next door hasn't been there that long. It's been there for about 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you don't think you can comply with the condition in the draft conditions?
Well, they've given, which is rather unusual, given two options as a condition, either retain a balcony and have a non-compliant space, or I mean, I do not see the heritage principles applied in this case. It's a Hobson's choice, really.
Okay.
And in the big picture, I don't think what we're proposing will have any impact whatsoever on the conservation area. If council is worried about a precedent, then this is rather a unique situation. There is an existing balcony and there is an existing attic space, so it's not one that could be used as a precedent for further applications.
Mm. Okay. Any questions from the panel members?
No, thank you.
Yes. Mr. Stevens, you are aware that you have referred to 82, but you are aware that that doesn't comply with Council's current DCP requirements. Is that correct?
Well, the balcony, as I understand it, was extended without Council consent, but Council have issued a building certificate to say basically it can stay. So Council had the opportunity.
Well, that wasn't. Yes, the question is though that I understand they got a building certificate, which is slightly different in respect of the planning controls. But my question was that you understand that 82 does not comply with Council's current DCP requirements.
Only in regard to the size of the balcony.
Yes, that's right. And the possibly the width as well, or.
Yes, I think it's probably over the width, but if, one option could be to have our balcony modified to comply to the DCP size. But at the moment, we're not given the option to even reduce it. It's either have it or not.
So, I'm sorry, Mr. Stevens, just to clarify what you've said, so you'd be happy to comply with current DCP requirements?
In regard to the size, if needed.
Yeah, in other words, to modify it marginally to respect the current DCP requirements.
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. All right. Any other questions for panel members?
No, thank you.
Nothing for me.
No. All right, thank you. Well, that concludes item six as well. Thank you for your attendance. I assume that... all right. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Now, that concludes the public meeting period of our meeting here today. I'm getting a lot of interference at the moment. Everybody getting that?
Yes.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, I think we all are.
All right. Well,
it means that someone's got two running at the same time.
Right. Well, I think I can close this public meeting.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, did we check back to
see? You had to go back to item Mr. 5.
We've got to check back for item 5 to see if the gentleman arrived.
Item 5, did anybody arrive?
We have to check to see if...
Peter Lonergan, the architect. Peter Lonergan, did you arrive? No. Tina, can you see Mr. Lonergan anywhere on your screen?
No, I don't see him anywhere, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, in that case, he hasn't shown up, and so we can close the public meeting. Now, to go to our closed session, I believe what we do is log off this public meeting conference, and then we reconvene on the briefing.
Yeah, that'll work.
Meeting.
Yep.
So
could we have 5 minutes? 5 minutes, Mr. Chairman, between the two.
You can have 10 minutes. How about we reconvene at 3:15? We log back on, but back on the briefing meeting panel.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Good. Thank you. So this meeting's now closed for the purposes of the recording. I take it.
Yes. Yes. I've just closed it.
Thanks,
you.
Mr. Chair.
I will now leave the meeting. If everybody signs off leaving the meeting, I think is what you need to do.
And then you need to leave this meeting, hang up on this meeting, and then when you're ready, sign back into the briefing.
Right, we'll do that at 3:15. Is everybody happy or you want longer?
Yeah. Yes.
3:15, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.